There are six things that I want you to know of. There's six moment makers that I want you to be aware of, that I want you to know and to apply to your lives. And obviously, in your faith journey, there's going to be a lot more than just six things. But here's kind of six foundational things that I want you to be moments in your life. So we're going to read this first, 2 Corinthians 3, 16 to 18. This is in the Message translation. It says, "Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old, constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We are free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him." And when we meet Jesus, when we meet Jesus, when we have an encounter with Jesus, when we have a moment with Jesus, we go from moment to moment, and we spend those moments with God. See, a moment with Jesus is not a wasted moment. I think a lot of times we waste or we ruin opportunities that we could have to spend time with Jesus. And so I want you to know tonight that a moment with Jesus is not a wasted moment. That's what I want you to know. And a moment spent with God is a changing moment. It will change your life from the inside out. And see, this is how we're moment makers, is that we spend time with Jesus. By the way, God does not change you because he's mad at you. He doesn't want to come into your life and change you because he's disappointed in you. He loves you. He's obsessed with you. He's for you. He's got a great plan for every one of you guys. God is not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. And like I mentioned last week, we all, every single one of us, will have had or are going to have some defining moments in our lives. Like that, as you're growing up, these moments are going to shape your life. And like, I lived in a small town in eastern Oklahoma called Stillwell, Oklahoma. Don't try to Google it because you may not even find it. So one Sunday afternoon, I had a friend over at my house. I lived out in the country and we were riding bikes. And before we were riding bikes, me and my friend got into a fight. And we were mad at each other and we were shoving each other around and we were just mad. And like, "You're a dummy. No, you're a dummy. You poo-poo head." Like we were mad, like really mad. And so anyways, we started pushing each other, shoving each other around a little bit. And I was like, this guy was bigger than me. Yo, so let's be honest. So like, I hopped on my bike and I'm pedaling. I'm going to my house. We were down the road a little ways and I'm pedaling and I'm heading to my house and like living out in the country. And I was trying to outrun him. I was trying to get to my house. And here's the deal. Like, he was at my house on a Sunday afternoon. Like, you got to respect the house. But anyways, we won't get there. So I'm pedaling. And he's behind me. Like, he's picking up speed. He's behind me. And I wreck my bike. I wreck my bike. I fall over. I get cut up. I get scraped up. I get bruised up. And I was kind of like, we didn't wear helmets back in these days. Like, it wasn't a thing. And I was like laying on the ground, hurting, bruised up, cut up. And my friend rides up and I'm thinking like, he's going to like ride up and be like, "Oh, are you okay, buddy? Like, I'm really sorry." No, he rolls up on his bike. He kicks me and rides off. That was a defining moment in my life. And you'll always remember these moments where you get your driver's license. Like, that's a defining moment. Those are moments that we're going to have in our lives. And I'll never forget my first kiss. Anyone remember your first kiss? Awesome, you guys. Oh, anyone not have their first kiss yet? Me either. Yeah. But But here's the deal. My first kiss, like it did not go well. It did not go well. Like, how do I know it went well? Did not go well. First of all, you know. And second of all, she ran away. So that was not good. It was bad. So like, and some other defining moments, like my wedding day was a defining moment in my life. It's a moment that will always be in my mind, the moment that I'll always remember. I remember standing at the altar by the preacher, by the pastor doing the wedding, and all of a sudden, Kristen, they're playing the music, and everyone's like, oh, she's coming, and everyone's turning around, and like, I see Kristen at the end of the aisle, and I'm like, oh. Like, I was like, oh, does she even know what she's getting herself into getting married to me? Like, she looked stunning. It was awesome. And by the way, that kiss wasn't even as good as my first kiss. So, okay, let me explain. Our wedding was awesome. Like, it was really good. Listen.
Let me explain.
So, let me explain. We're in the wedding thing, and it was like our pastor did the wedding, and our youth pastor did a part of the wedding, and we had this moment to where, because in our families, we have a lot of uncles and grandparents and parents and people who are pastors or who have been pastors, and we had this moment where they all came up around us and prayed over us. We were crying. Then, following that, it came to the kiss your bride part. Her face was just like a mop. Like, it was wet, tears everywhere. So I go in for the kiss, and I'm like, it was bad. It was like kissing a wet mop. Like, so just so you know, that's the story. And she knows. She may not be here right now, but she knows. So really, it's like, for real, defining moment right there. That kiss. And I'll never forget, for me in my life, the moment where the Oklahoma Sooners won the 2000 National Championship against the Florida State Criminals. It was awesome. And these are the moments that shape your life. These are the moments that you get excited about, that you get pumped up about. And I don't want to just talk about life-defining moments, but what I want to talk about tonight really is our faith-defining moments. Our faith-defining moments, and all throughout, we have all these moments, and through these moments is how we have moment makers. And so tonight, I want to just share a few moments with you that God has for us in our lives. And so the first one I want you to, the first moment is this: is when you say yes to Jesus. The first defining moment, the moment maker, defining moments that you're going to have in your life is when you say yes to Jesus. This is a moment that every person must have. And it's a God moment where you say yes to Jesus, where you say, Jesus, I realize that you are good and you've got better plans for me than I've got for myself. And I want to invite you into my life and to change me and to make me new. The first defining moment is saying yes to Jesus. I want you to see this in Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says this: if you declare with your mouth, it's saying if you say it with your words that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and you're justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and you're saved. So how do you be saved? I just said it. You got to say it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. And he says, you'll be saved. You got to say yes to Jesus, every person. And just so you know, if you're new here tonight, or if you're newer, or maybe if you've never said yes to Jesus, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that tonight. Every person needs to have this moment to where we say, we believe in our heart, and we confess with our mouth, and it transfers from our heart to confession, to saying it, to verbally saying it. Say, you are God, I am not. You died for my sins, I can't save myself. You created heaven, I don't want to go to hell. Like, there is this God moment where you say yes to Jesus. If you've never done that, we're going to do that tonight. We're going to give you an opportunity. So the second moment, everybody say two. Every the second moment, these moment makers that we're going to have, and we're going to run through these things tonight because I got six of these things. And so the second moment maker is baptism. It's baptism. We announced that tonight. We talked about that tonight. It's coming up on the 26th. You need to sign up if you would like to be baptized. And it just so happens that it is coming up. And so and I love baptisms. There's just something about baptisms that, like, I just love. I get excited about. So after you say yes to Jesus, this is the next step. You say yes to Jesus. Jesus isn't like, so cool. We just kind of trying to watch Chiefs game now. Like, you know, like, where do we go from here? The next moment is water baptism. By the way, I've seen baptisms happen everywhere. Growing up, my dad being a pastor, I've seen baptisms happen in the church building. We've baptized people up here in this room on the stage, and I've seen baptisms happen in a swimming pool. I've seen baptisms happen in a creek. I've seen baptisms happen in an ocean. I've seen baptisms happen in a river. I've seen baptisms happen in a bathtub, and I've heard of even baptisms taking place in our church pond. Right down here. And so, like, you find a water hole and we'll baptize you in it. Like, come on. And so, by the way, just so you guys know what baptism is an outward expression of your inward confession. Remember, talked about that the first point, the first thing, saying yes to Jesus. It's outwardly saying, this is what I confess. This is my new life in Jesus. It's saying the old me is gone. And that's like when they dunk you under the water. It's like saying the old me is gone and the new has come. I'm a new person. I'm making a public statement to the world, to everyone, that I'm a follower of Jesus. I've died to my old life, my old ways, my past, and I am a new creation. Moment makers get baptized. The third moment maker is the Holy Spirit. Oh, you guys, I love moments where the Holy Spirit, where I see him work in my life. We talk a lot about God. We talk a lot about Jesus. But a lot of times we don't talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. God is three in one. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's three. He's the Holy Spirit. He's in our lives. And one of my favorite things about the Holy Spirit is that the Spirit of God is in you, and he helps you, and he helps you reach others. And so many of you guys have the Holy Spirit in your life, and you're not utilizing it. You're not utilizing the Holy Spirit. Here's a little of who the Holy Spirit is, just a little of it. He will comfort you. When you go through struggles, when you go through hard times, when you walk through the valleys, he is our comforter. He will remind you. He will lead you to truth. He reveals Jesus, and he convicts us of our sins when we're doing wrong. The Holy Spirit is in you, but he's in you for others. I mean, he's in you to change you and to do a work in you, but he's also in you to do a work in others, to change others. Watch this, Acts 1:8, it says this, "But I promise you this," and I like a promise from God because God cannot break a promise. He says, "I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be seized with power." He's saying you, when the Holy Spirit is in your life, you have power in your life. God does not want you to live a powerless life. He does not want you to live a weak life. He does not want you to go without having the ability to do so. Disney Plus has invaded our home. Anybody else? Like, Disney Plus is like the new CrossFit. Like, everyone knows about it, right? And so, like, Mandalorian, Star Wars, right? All the Disney stuff, the Disney shows. Like, it's the new CrossFit. Everybody knows. And so I go home, and I grab my remote to my TV. And have you ever done this? And you go and you push the buttons, and nothing's happening. You're like, why? And so you push them harder, right? Because you think that's going to help it out. And it's frustrating. And I don't have the power to do what I need to do. See, you're living your life without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like living your life without batteries. There's no power there. There's nothing that you can't happen. Nothing can happen. It can't take place. The Holy Spirit, he gives you power. He gives you the power to overcome. He comforts you better than any parent, better than any friend could ever be your comforter. He gives you the power to stand for your faith when no one else will do it. I love the Holy Spirit. I love how I've seen him work in my life. I love how he has pushed me and challenged me. And when I'm doing something wrong, he puts a little check in my spirit, a little check in my heart and be like, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Like, every time. Or like moments to where I'm like, I'm like God has spoken to me, asked me to just speak to someone. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And I'm nervous and I'm scared and I'm afraid. But then when I step out and do it, it's like something just, the Holy Spirit just rises up in me and like just gives me the power. It gives me the words to say, gives me the open door and the opportunity to share Jesus. I love the power of the Holy Spirit. It's, I got to be honest, when he pushes you to those moments, it's scary at times. But I guarantee you, he has never failed me when I've stepped out in the power of the Holy Spirit. The next moment maker is your local church. It's my church. That's your local church. There's so much power and so much potential in the local church. Like you can find a spiritual family. You can find a home. You can find a place to belong. Our very first value that we have here is that we're a family made of friends. That's what we're all about here. That's what we want to be here. We want to be the local church to you. And we want to be that for you. We want to be your family made of friends. Like, listen, and you can go through YouTube, you can find some podcasts, you can find some world-class speakers, some world-class preachers all throughout the podcast, all throughout these YouTube, social media, but there's nothing like coming together with a group of people with one heart, with one mind, with one spirit, with one focus, seeking Jesus. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like that. See, when God brings you into a faith community called the local church, there are all these people, there are the people there who love you, who want God's absolute best for you. If you're a leader in this room, raise your hand. If you're one of my leaders, look at these people. Tell them you love them. Yeah. These people want they want God's absolute best for your life. They don't have to be here. They volunteer their time to come and be here because they love you guys, because they want to see, this is our local church. This is what we're about. We want to see the next generation rise up and lead us someday. Man, I'll let you be my pastor. I'll let you lead someday. If that's what God's called you to do, I want to see you rise up and do greater things than I've ever done, than God's ever used me to do. This is a faith community called the local church. The local church, I've heard it said this way, is the hope of the world. It's the hope of the world. By the way, there is no perfect church. If you ever find one, you let me know. Because there is no perfect church. There's no perfect youth group. There's no perfect family. Have you ever thought that a family has it all together and then you hang out with them or you go to their house and you're like, whoo-hoo, they're just like the rest of us. Like, they are as messed up as we are. You're like, yes. I am comforted by your dysfunction. Like, so there's a moment where God is like, I understand things could be better. That's why you're there to help make things better. Not complain about it, not to gossip about it, not to get upset about it, not to worry about it. We're a part of our local church to reach people with the gospel, not to get all upset and to get all worked up and to cause drama and to cause problems. Do you ever wish that people would be more excited and more passionate to worship? Then I want to challenge you. You be the person who's more passionate and more excited to worship. You wish more people would show up? Then you know what? You be the person to help get them here. You think people aren't friendly? You show yourself to be the most friendly person in the room. God didn't put you in this place so you could point out all the problems of everyone and everything else. He put you here to help and to become part of the solution, to be the body of Christ. Let me tell you, the local church is the hope of the world. There's no other plan that God has to reach the whole world than the local church. See, and when I talk about the local church, I'm not talking about this building that we meet in. I'm not talking about this room or the auditorium or the kids area or the parking lot. I'm not even talking about this space, this area, where the top of this hill where we're at. There's no other plan that God has to reach our community. See, you and I are the local church. That's us. You and I are the local church. We don't need a building. Several years ago, we moved here to this area like 3-4 months before the tornado hit Joplin. And that's where we lived before we came here. And when that tornado hit Joplin, and I remember the church that we served at, worked at there, was destroyed. It was torn up. And I watched my former church come together without a building to meet in, and grow together and bond together and reach more people and to show more love to their community than they ever did inside of a building. The local church is us. We are the local church. And when we're unified with one heart, with one mission, with one drive, with one purpose, there is no stopping what God can do. God's like, nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up. You're supposed to be here. That was stupid, I know. You're supposed to serve here. We say that saves people, serve people. You're supposed to grow here. We say that growing people change. You're supposed to lead here. The next moment maker that that I have is, I think I have like two more, maybe three. Where am I at? Two more. And the next moment maker is your first fruits. You may be like, what? First fruits. Never heard of that, but I like fruit. Let me explain. I want you guys, every single one of you in this room, to live a blessed life. I want you to be blessed. I want you to live blessed. And more than me, God wants you to live blessed. He wants you to have a blessed life. And your first fruits is basically a way of saying that, God, I give you my very best. I give you my very best. Possessions and money are not important. We're not saying that possessions and money are more important than God. We're saying, God, those things are things that you have blessed me with. I give them back to you. So look at this, Proverbs 3:9-10. It says this, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Translation, he's saying, if you honor me with your first, I'll bless you more than you can imagine. If you honor me with your best, it's going to get even better and better and better. The blessings will just get better. Let me make it even simpler. We honor God by giving our tithe. What's our tithe? Our tithe is the first 10% of what we earn. If you got a job in this room, and some of us do, these are things that you need to learn. These are things that you need to know. If you have a job in this room, and when you earn or when you make money, and people get funny when you talk about money, but if you could learn to give back to God the first 10% of your paycheck. Kristen and I, a lot of people don't use paper checks anymore, but used to when we were first married. You would write paper checks for your bills or for your electric or for your rent or for whatever. When we would get our income in, our paychecks together, the very first check we write is to our local church. And it's not just because it's the local church. It's we're giving back to what God has blessed us with. And give 10%. The first 10% goes back to God. God will bless your life. Having 90% with God's blessing will take you further than 100% without God's blessing. The last moment maker is this. Ties right in. It's generosity. So what generosity is, that you have your first fruits, but then generosity is your over and above giving. We say here that generosity is our heart. And we've been talking about this for 2 years. It's been one of our values here at Emerge for 2 years. In the 2 years that we've implemented this value that generosity is our heart, we've broken records every single year in giving to missions. This last year, we gave towards our Living Water campaign, where we're helping build water wells in East Africa. We gave $15,000 last year. That is by far a record than what we've ever given. The last moment maker is generosity, and we say that generosity is our heart. Have you guys ever seen the movie Finding Nemo? Right? You like that movie? In the movie when those birds are like, mine, 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 right? Everybody say it with me. Mine, 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 mine. Okay, stop. That moment maker in your life is when you learn, instead of mine, we say it's all yours, God. See, my life is not mine, it's all yours, God. My time is not mine, it's God, I give it to you. See, when you can learn to be generous, when you can learn to be a generous person, man, life is so freeing. It's so freeing. I desire to be the kind of person who isn't always concerned with what I can get, but what I can give. I want to be a generous person. I want to be able to give gifts and to give blessings and to help people whenever I can. I want to honor God with what I give. I want to honor others by being able to give. When you're a generous person, you're a grateful person. When you're a generous person, you are a grateful person. I don't know one generous person who isn't grateful. Generosity is giving with no strings attached. Say, here, you take this. I don't want anything in return. God, I give this to you. If you choose to bless me, man, that's great. But if not, God, I just love you anyways. See, when you're generous with God, it's basically a statement that says, God, you have me all the way. Everything I'm about, everything I am, everything I have, God, it's all you. Did you know that the Bible speaks more about money than it does just about anything else? It does that because God knew that we would be people who are all about money. We want to make money. We want to spend money. We want to have the things. We want to have all the things. We want to have the newest clothes. We want to have the newest shoes. We got to have the stuff. The need and want for things would or could control our lives, and we tend to put those desires before God. See, these moments we talked about tonight, they're simply this. These are growing people change moments. And that's one of our values as well, is that growing people change. The more you become like Jesus, the more you come closer to Jesus, your life begins to change. If you don't like some things that's going on, if you're struggling with some things, if you're hurting with some things, as you're growing closer to Jesus, The best thing that you can do in your life is put yourself in proximity to Jesus, because growing people change. You can't stay the same. If you want or you need change in your life, you and I got to be honest, I do. I'm still growing. I'm still changing. These six things that we talked about tonight are some of the things that you got to get right, that you've got to get right. I know some of you have been like, said yes, baptized, I give, I do blah, blah, blah. I'm doing pretty good. Maybe you need to take that next step and continue some things in your life that are going to be moment makers in your life.